You are listening to KBUT Community Radio, 90.3 in Crested Butte, 88.7 in Gunnison, and worldwide at KBUT.org. I'm your host, Kate Knapp, and we are joined by Michael Brody with the Crested Butte Film Festival, slated for September 18th through the 22nd. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's great to come in the studio and talk about films that are coming up.
Yeah, so for folks who may not already know, this year marks the 14th annual film festival. How did we get here? What's the history?
History is, it actually started with reading a book about Jim Morrison and The Doors, No One Here Gets Out Alive. And I think it was page 67 or something, and it said that they all the members of the original band, The Doors, met at film school at UCLA. And growing up in suburban America, it never dawned on me that you could go to college and study film. So that really changed my life. I was living in Vancouver, Canada at the time, and I went to the Art Cinema that night, and I had a completely different experience. I was watching the film, but thinking, why did they put the camera here? Why is it at a low angle? You know, the night before, I wouldn't have done that, but somehow film school really registered. I went to CU Boulder for film school, made films, still make films, started going to Telluride Film Festival, and what I quickly realized was going around seeing film after film, I felt like I was playing hooky, and it was just really the favorite 4 days of my year. I mean, some people here, it may be skiing powder here or in BC, but for me it was doing that, and really at the time meeting the sort of giants of European cinema at Telluride. And in the back of my mind was always the idea of, wow, this would be fun to do. And so, yeah, 14 years ago we started, and we're still here, and I'm really grateful for this town and the people here that support it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, like you said, there's film festivals kind of all throughout the state and all throughout the country. Our valley has kind of gone in ebbs and flows of having even available movie theaters. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, even being here today is quite a feat.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think when I moved here in 2010, it was crazy to understand that there wasn't a movie house in the valley, that there used to be one in Gunnison and, you know, off and on here. And there's great venues and theaters in the valley still that aren't being used. So I'd like to, you know, at Western, there's the Ruby and a couple lecture halls there. And, you know, really grateful the Majestic's open. And, you know, we'd like to expand into more and more places because, you know, seeing the best of world cinema is a great, it's an honor. And it's something that we want to share with people.
Yeah, I think that was felt even more deeply during COVID and the pandemic.
Yeah.
And one of the films that's being presented kind of touches on this moment. Do you want to let folks know what this film's about?
Sure. That was a great segue. Thank you. Well, we all remember COVID and we all remember the crazy things we did during it. We're showing a film called Grand Theft Hamlet. And as you can tell already, there's kind of a mashup going on between the video game Grand Theft Auto and Shakespeare's Hamlet. And so a couple of unemployed London actors during COVID became quite obsessed with a video game and were really involved in that world. And then they saw how beautiful it was. There was a outdoor theater that I think is based on the Hollywood Bowl in the game. And they got this idea of, what if we created, I think they're called avatars for ourselves. Yeah. I'm not a video person, video game person. And what if we decided to stage the play Hamlet in the middle of this very violent video game in which, you know, it's basically about shooting people up and, you know, rocket launchers and things like that, anything goes. So they, the film is about them trying to perform Hamlet inside the video game. And what can happen at any time in a video game is people from all over the world are immersing themselves in the game. So they're talking about, you know, Bernardo and Francisco and to be or not to be. And other avatars come in the game and start shooting them or shooting each other. And it becomes a debacle. Like, they can't stage this play. And it becomes a metaphor for the difficulty of doing theater during COVID and doing a lot of things in COVID. And I was watching it. There's a little segment online. And to me, it's just the funniest thing in the world because it's so serious. And then at the same time, people come in and they're blown up and shot and, you know, there's explosions. And it's just the most kind of random thing. And I think film always tries to be very, very precise and use that take instead of that one. And in this film, what's so interesting is they're not in control. Anyone who enters the game can ruin things, or they actually audition people. So, you know, I'm here to play Bernardo or something like that. And so it works for a little while. And it's just, I think it's one of the most innovative films we have, and it's very beautiful and very random as far as what happens in it.
Yeah, but quite relatable because I think a lot of us found pretty unique hobbies during the pandemic.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's probably Shakespeare again, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men. You know, we always attempt these things and we try to put a lot of effort into it. And then life happens and there's a lot of people on stage with us and sometimes they take over. And so the whole thing is filmed. And I just think that it was really one of the most exciting films that I saw this year and one of the most exciting films that was submitted to us. And so I'm really trying to get our audience, and especially young kids, that this is their world, out to see this film. So it plays only one time during the festival, and that's Sunday morning, and that's Grand Theft Hamlet. So please come and see it. Yeah.
And it sounds like you've kind of picked, obviously, a variety of films and different filmmakers. Was there any overarching theme that you were kind of aiming for or want viewers to really take in?
Yeah, I think that we try not to aim for a theme. I think they just emerge. You know, some years we notice so many documentaries about Syria, because of what was happening there. Another year, it was so many films about people and issues around transgender and that lifestyle and that choice. And then this year, and forgive me, people, if I said that incorrectly. This year, what I noticed was there's a lot of films about the impact of colonialism, which is huge, and it's rampant, and it's all over the world. I think it's important to realize that, you know, we have a film from Australia and Canada and even Ireland, but, you know, this was a practice that was everywhere. It's once Europe started spreading out, they came into lands where people were, you know, well and happy and had religion and culture established and language. And there was just this force that said, no, you're not going to do that anymore. And you're going to do it our way. And, just to devastating consequences all over the world. And I think a lot of films I'm noticing, people that happened to are starting to look into that. What happened to their people and telling those stories, and it incriminates a lot of big institutions. I'm not going to say what they are, but I encourage people to see films like Sugar Cane and The New Boy, and also a really fun Irish film called Kneecap that's about rap music, but it's also about the fact that Ireland was the first British colony. They were, you know, they had their own language, you know. They might have had famines, but they were getting along just fine. And then this other country came over and made them speak differently and different religions and things like that. So it was just something that I saw a number of times in the films that were sent to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know we have a variety of films. We also have filmmakers that are here throughout the festival as well, including Orion Williams. He's the producer of the film Eno.
Correct, yes.
So this may be of interest to our listeners because this is a story about musician Brian Eno. He's a singer-songwriter who went on to play with U2, Coldplay, and David Byrne.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And even way before, as I'm a little older than you, Brian Eno did a lot of solo music. He played with Roxy Music. He was very involved with David Byrne and the Talking Heads. And just, I think he's synonymous with this sort of English eccentric visionary who really was like in the control room like this, producing new sounds, new music. And so because of that, a film about him that is not something you'd see on VH1. It's a film about that's has those same qualities of very technological, very avant-garde, and really pushing the idea of what music can be and what film could be. And what's interesting about the film is that it never plays the same way twice. So it's playing Saturday night here in Crested Butte, and let's say it's playing Saturday night in Montreal. They're going to be completely different films because the director, Gary Huswit, and Brian Eno and another gentleman developed a software that randomly chooses the scenes and the music and the interviews that it wants to play.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, filmmaking is this honing down of hundreds of hours of footage into 90 minutes. And so this is almost the opposite of that, of taking hours and hours of edited footage and randomly putting it back together. Or maybe the computer knows that there's certain themes that it's looking for. So the film we get is completely different than what other people have seen. It's very innovative. Orion's coming, and I'm so excited because I love Brian Eno and I love the people he's worked with, Coldplay, and on and on and on. So hopefully your listeners will find that of interest. And it's just called Eno, E-N-O. And he's just a really, the interviews I've seen, he's just such a warm gentleman, very giving, very intelligent, very musical. And he just, you know, he loves what he does. And so we get to witness all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that sounds really cool. And I'm a fan of all those bands, mm-hmm. including U2 and Coldplay and the
right.
Talking Heads.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, what a treat. I hadn't even heard of this name prior to you bringing up this film and wow. watched the trailer, and mm-hmm. it looks really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's just, he's just synonymous with really pushing, you know, I think, you know, like Talking Heads came out in 77 and they did a couple of really good albums, and then they meet up with Brian Eno, and they, I think the album's called My Life in the Bush of Ghosts, and all of a sudden there's African polyrhythms going on, and he just brings this sort of worldwide awareness of music, and he brings it into the studios, and he's like, guys, what do you think about this? And changes music. So
yeah.
he's up there for sure.
It's neat yeah. to hear too that he's involved in the filmmaking process
mm-hmm. yeah.
and kind of making that an interesting collaboration where, like you said, you're seeing a different film
yeah.
depending on where you are.
Yes, exactly.
How interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, it'd be interesting to see, because as a filmmaker, you tend to let certain interviews or scenes go. But if, you know, in this case, if there's a chance it's going to be shown, then it really has to be polished. You know, it can't be 45 minutes of, you know, bad interview with Tina Weymouth of Talking Heads. You know, it really has to be edited and focused. And so it sounds like a lot more work. And I think I'm just so interested to see the byproduct of it.
Yeah.
And it's a film they don't let you see ahead of time. It's like you commit to the film and it shows up and it's brand new and you watch it. And
I mean, it's interesting. So you've been doing this for 14 years now, like we talked about. Have you seen films change in any way or evolve in a way that has surprised you?
I think that, and it's, we also do, we have three panels during the weekend that are open to the public. And they're going to be downstairs at the Public House in a really fun music space. And one of the things we're going to talk about is, you know, how documentary is really changing. And I think we all have this notion of you get a camera and a film, or now it's, you know, some kind of computer chip, and you go where you want to go, and you dispassionately film what you're filming. And it's really not the case. I think more and more filmmakers have stories they want to tell, whether it's a narrative or documentary, and they're pulling in other ways of telling the story, sometimes which, you know, like for a documentary filmmaker to say, okay, Kate, you know, it's fine where you're sitting, but let's try it over here because that looks better and it's more intimate and things like that. And they're this idea of documentary filmmakers really working to get exactly what they want. And so I just think there's a lot of innovation going on, and just hopefully better and better films are getting made, and deeper, more challenging stories along with them.
And you mentioned as well, there's going to be some shorts that play. Yeah. Anything that really sticks out to you that you think this community will enjoy?
Yeah. Well, the easy one is Outdoor Adventure, and that's a sort of perennial favorite. And so we actually have a matchstick short film in there. We have a film about Wendy Fisher, and then we also have a film about a gentleman up at Rumble, and then we also have a locals film showcase, because what we noticed was there's people making films in this town that are not just Matchstick and James Cameron and Ed Zwick. And we wanted to highlight that, to say, you know, your friends and neighbors are making films also. So that's Locals Film Showcase. That's what we start the festival with. We also have four programs of documentary shorts and two programs of narrative shorts. And, you know, when I look at the you know, who's going to what films and how many numbers, I want to give a little love to the documentary shorts and the narrative shorts, because they're incredible programs of films. And I think on certain themes, and I think our audience and would love to see these films. And so check out the documentary and narrative shorts. And then one thing we did was, and we get a lot of young filmmakers coming with their films, because they're young and they want to travel, and everyone of course wants to come to Crested Butte. So a lot of these filmmakers come to Crested Butte on their own. You know, they're like, oh wow, I got in, you're showing my film, you're putting me up, thanks to our incredible lodging sponsors. And yeah, I'll drive in or I'll fly in. And so we're gifted with all these filmmakers coming to town. And I was speaking to a gentleman, filmmaker that came up from Santa Fe a couple of years ago. And, you know, he said that you can't believe what a rare and wonderful thing it is to come to a film festival, because you get to, you know, he gets to meet his peers. And he used the word communion. And I love that. And I think we'll probably hear that a few times this weekend, that it's this coming together and getting to see people, see their work. And so we wanted to create a visiting filmmaker program. So these, and I really want to give a shout out to these people, because they're filmmakers coming here to Crested Butte on their own. As we all know, it either takes a long time or it's expensive. And so these filmmakers have chosen to do this. So we wanted to give them their own show. So it's just called Visiting Filmmakers. It's Friday afternoon. And the great thing is with nearly every film, the filmmaker's there. So you get to meet them, him or her, or they, and you get to talk afterwards with them, and you'll see him in line at Camp 4, and it's like, I'd love to buy you a coffee and things like that. So it's we're honored that they're willing to come out here, and we just, you know, want to honor their work and show them the best time that we can.
Well, we've got just a few minutes left. Any final words? Anything else you'd like folks to know?
No, I'm wondering if you have any questions. I could go on and on, but I was wondering if anything.
Well, you know, all of these films sound absolutely wonderful. You can learn more at cbfilmfest.org. Once again, this is the 14th annual Crested Butte Film Festival, and they will have a full schedule of showtimes available online. There will be a screening of Eno at the Crested Butte Center for the Arts this Saturday, September 21st at 3:30 p.m. Producer Orion Williams, who serves on the CB Film Fest board, will introduce the film and then do a Q&A about the filmmaking process. You are tuned into KBUT Community Radio. Special thanks to our guest for today's show. And in case you just tuned in, you can listen to the full conversation at kbut.org. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's always a pleasure, and thanks for having me.
Yeah. And don't forget, the CB Film Fest takes place September 17th through the 22nd.
The 18th.
18th.
Otherwise, we...
Do we have something happening on Wednesday?
We do. We have a double feature. We have at the Center for the Arts, we have the Locals Film Showcase, and we have a wonderful film from the country of Afghanistan about tribal people who live in the mountains, and when it snows, by any means necessary, they go skiing. And it's really about the love of skiing. You wear anything warm, jeans even, ski suits, whatever it takes. And sometimes you make your own skis, whatever it takes to go up and come down. So it's that same love that we all have of skiing. It's just in a very different place. And in the middle, there's actually a race that's very much like the Al Johnson. So it's up and down. And in the middle of all this, the Taliban takes over. And so that changes everything. And it's a film about that, and really just about the love of winter, the love of skiing and getting out and going fast.
I love it.
And that's The Champions of the Golden Valley, Wednesday night at the Center.
Well, you heard it here first. This is Michael Brody with the CB Film Fest. You can find a full schedule of showtimes at cbfilmfest.org. Stay tuned. We've got Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Regional Roundup coming up next.